Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Today's program was brought to you by Fairway Market, like no other market. A New York City institution that sells the best local, national, and international artisan foods for prices that can't be beat. For more information, visit fairwaymarket.com.
Hi, this is Celia Cutcher, host of Animal Instinct, and you are listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hello, and welcome to Ask a Clean Person, the podcast on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jolie Kerr, a cleaning expert, advice columnist, and author of the New York Times bestselling book, My Boyfriend Barfed in My Handbag, and Other Things You Can't Ask Martha. My column, Ask a Clean Person, appears on Deadspin.com. My guest today is Adam Clark Estes of Gizmodo. Hi, Adam.
Hi, Jolie.
Adam is a senior writer at Gizmodo.com. Adam also authored a post for that site, which the site focuses on technology and gadgets. And the post that he authored is serving as the inspiration for today's episode. I'm very, very excited about this one. The post was entitled, Stop Swiffering. And I'm going to ask Adam to kick things off by reading a section of that post. People who have been longtime readers of Ask a Clean Person will know why I'm so very excited about this. So here, Adam, I'm going to ask you to just start off by reading this little section of a very great post entitled Stop Swiffering.
All right. Procter & Gamble launched Swiffer in 1999 with the hope of making a boatload of money by applying the infamous Gillette approach to household cleaning. The Gillette approach is commonly known as the razor and blades business model, where a company gives customers a free or cheap product in order to sell them expensive complementary products. So you can buy a Swiffer sweeper starter kit for $20, but each pack of cleaning cloths will set you back about $10. I did this for years. I bought the dry cloths and the wet cloths in order to keep my floors extra clean, and it worked fine. I liked how pushing around the nimble little Swiffer seemed so easy and fun. I hated how pulling off the dirty cloth seemed like changing a diaper. And I really hated how the sloppy wet ones dripped all over my clothes. Over time, I frankly
That's very dirty.
Over time, I frankly resented how much money I was spending on glorified paper towels.
I hear ya. So, I mentioned that longtime readers of Ask a Clean Person will understand why I'm so keen on this particular topic. For people who don't know, you're going to find out. When I read this post on Gizmodo, which was a couple months ago, right? Over the summer, I think you published it.
Yeah.
I immediately signed into Slack, which is the sort of group chat platform that we use at Gawker Media. And I pinged Adam to ask him if he'd join me on the podcast so that we could bond over how much we hate Swiffers, because I hate Swiffers. I hate them. Ugh. I actually started writing, I don't think Adam even knows this, I started writing about my Swiffer hate way back in 2011 when Ask a Clean Person was still in its infancy. And my disdain for that product has apparently taken root, because when I was preparing for this episode, I Googled Jolie Kerr Swiffer to find that original post from 2011 so I could read some quotes from that. And instead, I did find that post, but I also found something else. I was so tickled to find this comment on an apartment therapy post from March of last year entitled, Are Swiffers Really As Good As They Claim? So that was a post that was a reader question that they tossed out to their commenters asking for a sort of group consensus on whether Swiffers are good or bad. And a commenter who goes by Denise GK wrote this. I got a Swiffer wet jet when they first came out and kept it through several years worth of improvements to the cleaning fluid recipe. It never really worked for me. I saw it and I used it as a mopping replacement, so I wasn't using it every day, only weekly. It always took 2 to 3 pads per room, and we don't even have a big house. But we do have long-haired people and lots of coming and goings. The pads just can't pick up enough hair and particles. A little line of damp debris was left all around the edge of the rooms that I'd have to use another pad to go to get or go get a rag and cleaning solution and clean up on hands and knees, which, as she notes, defeated the whole purpose of the Swiffer. It cost me too much money to have to clean up after my cleanup. I did read that the dry Swiffers have the pads attached in a different way, so you can buy a stack of microfiber cloths and use those, then throw them in the laundry. That's a good way to save money and reduce all the horrible waste associated with Swiffering. If you want to use them wet, you can spray some of your own favorite cleaning solution and have a wet slash dry Swiffer. I do know, here's the kicker, guys, this is still Denise GK's comment. I do know that Jolie Care, the Ask a Clean Person gal, hates Swiffers. She says they mostly push dirt around and are only good for light maintenance cleaning. Since everyone has to do deeper cleaning sometimes, you have to have a second set of tools and cleaning solution for that. To her, that's an aggravating waste of money and space. So she just has one cleaning system of all the products she likes that can do light or deep cleaning. I tend to like her reasoning. Thanks, Denise. That was really nice of you to say. I like my reasoning, too. So I think that Adam and I have come to a similar conclusion on Swiffers, but maybe for slightly different reasons. So you didn't find so much that you didn't like the process of Swiffering, right? I mean, you felt that it got your home clean and you liked the nimble little feeling of zipping around your apartment and cleaning the floors, but you hated the waste and you hated the cleanup process, right? The dirty diaper feel that you got from those. And I know exactly, it's such an evocative image. I know exactly what you mean when you say that. For me, I actually take umbrage with how they clean. In addition to the fact that I find the waste factor to be quite troubling. I'm not a super like eco-friendly person. It's not a huge part of my deal. I use bleach, as I like to say. But I do like to be mindful of waste. And I certainly like to be mindful of how much I'm spending. And so the spendiness of the Swiffer is a thing that ultimately I think really bugs me so much for a product that doesn't, I feel, clean all that well, right? You still have to deep clean your floors, whether that's, you know, a proper mop. I also hate mops. We're going to talk about that too. I love cleaning, but I hate a lot of other things. I advocate handsies and kneesies. I think it's like, I did it yesterday for my kitchen floor, and frankly, I don't find it to be that gruesome a task. I don't know. Do you ever clean on your hands and knees?
I do now. That's how I sort of spot clean the things my vacuum doesn't pick up.
Yeah, exactly. So, okay, that which leads us perfectly into, we're going to talk about our vacuums, because Adam and I are both Dyson, well, I would say fangirls, but you're a fanboy, fangirl, although we are quick to acknowledge that there are a lot of problems with Dysons. One thing that I've noticed with hardwood, once I got my Dyson, is that I actually had to clean on my hands and knees so much less, because I was regularly vacuuming, and it just meant that my floors weren't that dirty. And when I noticed a spot that was caused by a spill, you know, a liquid spot or a solid matter spot, food usually, I could just spot treat it. You know, just take a little, like, Windex and a paper towel or a sponge and just clean that little spot up, and it was fine. So now I'm only doing the handsies and kneesies. Oh, listeners who aren't familiar with my weird term, handsies and kneesies is a term that I started using way back in like 2011 when I was writing about my Swiffer hate. I also used it in my book, and I sort of just made a joke that I feel like having a cutesy term for a kind of hideous task makes it feel a little bit better. Some people agree. Some people pretty vocally do not agree that that's cute, but I use it. So handsies and kneesies is what I call it. So I actually find that I probably only have to do the handsies and kneesies maybe once every 3 months, once a quarter, four times a year. That's like nothing. I mean, it's really not that bad, and it doesn't take very long.
I definitely have to do handsies and kneesies more often than that.
Oh, okay. Do you wear shoes in the house?
I do.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm not strictly shoe off. I'm not like, take your shoes off at the door. But my husband and I just tend to be shoes off people. It's like our natural comfort is to be shoes off people. So I think that's part of why we don't have to wash them so much. Yeah. If we wore shoes in the house all the time, I'd have to wash them more often. Speaking of my husband, I want to tell the story about how I got my Dyson. So before, I'm a unicorn in a lot of ways. First of all, because I like cleaning, and second of all, because I'm one of those weird people who did not live with my spouse before marriage. My husband moved into my apartment when we got married, and so prior to that, I mean, of course, he had spent time there, but prior to that, because I had hardwoods, I relied on a broom and a hand vacuum. To keep sort of hair at bay, particularly in the bathroom. And hand season needs to heat the floors because I had hardwood. So that was my routine. When my husband moved in, as I like to say affectionately, he is made entirely of hair. I knew that I was going to have to up the hand vac and get an upright. We live in a really tiny place, too. So space was a huge issue for me around having a vacuum cleaner. As fate would have it, I got a wedding gift that I had not registered for and did not want from Amazon.com. So I returned it, and I'm with this big, it was a generous gift. I guess I'm just an unappreciative jerk. It was a very generous gift. It just wasn't something I wanted. So with the very large credit that I got, I decided that because I was a clean person and this was my job, I could put the money towards the purchase of a Dyson. So put the money towards the purchase of a Dyson. I did. I got the cordless stick. I think it's DC-44. It's an animal. And this thing is great. I love my little vacuum. It actually turns out that my husband loves the little vacuum. So we were like competing to see who got to vacuum. It's kind of like a toy vacuum, like those little toy vacuums that you had as a kid that popped when you did them. So we love our little Dyson. And it has taken the place of having to do so much handsies and kneesies cleaning for me because we use it. I mean, I vacuum almost every day, but it's really easy. It's on a holster on my wall. I just grab it. The charge time. So we should talk a little bit about sort of the shortcomings of the Dyson, because there are some, and I think it's fair for us to acknowledge those. One, they're very pricey, so that's one big shortcoming. The other is that, and Adam, you found this because you also have a cordless. You have an issue with the charge time. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
It's very simple. The battery doesn't last that long and takes a long time to charge. So you might get 20 minutes of cleaning time, and then you have to plug it in for 2 or 3 hours.
Right, exactly.
And
Dyson can do better, don't you think?
Dyson should do better. This was
for what they're charging, they should definitely do better.
Yeah, I got many comments on my post of people screaming, just why don't they have like a swappable battery?
Yeah.
Like every other...
Adam, people were so mad at that post. I read the comments yesterday, and I mean, like clutching my pearls. I couldn't... They were so mad. They were so angry about the Dyson. I was like... Wow. So that was one reason I wanted us, even though we really like and we've had positive experiences with our Dyson, I wanted to make sure that we touch on some of the problems that the Dyson has. So the charge thing, the people were so mad about that, so angry. And then they were also angry about the repair issue. Do you want to talk a little bit about the repair issues with Dyson?
Sure. Well, one of the things I love about Dysons is they tend not to break, but every gadget breaks at some point in time.
Sure.
And the Dyson is no exception. One issue that I have reasonably frequently that hasn't made the whole thing stop working, but when you're cleaning it out, hair tends to get wrapped up around the filter, and it's sort of gross to reach your hand in and pull it out. And if you leave it, Dysons have a tendency to get clogged over time. And I know this is an issue because I went to look at the latest generation of Dyson things, and anti-clogging is sort of like the big new thing they're selling.
The big thing that they're up on, yeah. So I actually have had that my Dyson clog, and it took me a while to figure out what was wrong with it. I should also add, in the spirit of disclosure, so I told you a story about how I bought that OG Dyson that I have. I have a second one. I have two Dyson cordless stick vacuums in a studio apartment. It's ridiculous. The second one, however, in the interest of full disclosure, was provided to me by Dyson as a test model for a post that I was writing for GQ. GQ. Yes, I've written for GQ. And so that one was a freebie because it was a test, a sample model, and I did all the disclosures and so on and so forth. But just so you guys know that. So that original one that I had, it clogged. And the reason that it clogged was that I have very long hair. So this is actually one that I can't blame my husband's hair, who is entirely made up of hair. I can't blame this one on him. This one was entirely me. I have long kind of, well, now it's natural because I haven't dyed in a while, but I have long kind of reddish hair, so it's very easy to pick out whose hair is who in my house. And what happened was I would go to use it, and it would just make this like terrible kind of like clicking, whirring, sad, broken blender sound. And I was so upset because I thought, oh no, like I've neglected my OG Dyson in favor of the shinier, newer model that I got for testing purposes, and this is my fault. And I'm oddly really sentimentally attached to this vacuum cleaner, which is a bad thing. It's a bad way to be that way. It's especially bad to be that way about a vacuum cleaner, but I am because it was a wedding present. So, and it had so much to do with, you know, our first cohabitation. It has meaning to me. Boy, that is sad, Jolie. I'm a loser. But anyway, so I was like, oh no, I'm having, it was all true what they say about the Dysons, they break, and I'm going to have to figure out how to get this repaired and blah, blah, blah. And one day I just thought, you know, I wonder if the problem is that it's just clogged. And so I turned it over and I looked at the like roller attachment. That's the primary attachment that we use. And indeed, the whole thing was just covered in my hair. So I took a pair of like embroidery scissors. You can also use, you know, nail scissors, any kind of really fine scissor, small scissor. And I just cut the hair off, and you know, I took all the pieces apart and cleared out any, there were a few other little clogs here and there, and it was right as rain. It was just that simple. So I think that's the thing that's a little tricky about Dyson, is that the literature they give you sort of doesn't prepare you for the fact that you might hear something go wrong, but the fix is so simple. You don't need to call a repairman. You just need to get a pair of scissors.
Right.
Yeah.
And Dyson also actually has a tremendously enthusiastic community of Dyson owners. You're not the only one who feels a sentimental attachment to your Dyson.
It makes me feel better.
So I think it's pretty easy to go Google and find answers from other Dyson users. And I think Dyson as a company is also really helpful. The vacuums come with a good warranty.
Yep.
And
it's very easy to register. I've registered all my Dysons. It's very easy. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm happy with them. We should say that one big factor that is a problem that's basically unfixable is the price. And so we are going to take a little bit of a break now. This is a good time for us to break. When we come back, we're going to answer some reader questions, and we're going to talk a little bit about some alternatives to the Dyson that are a little bit more affordable for people who don't want to make a $500 investment in a vacuum cleaner, which is perfectly understandable. So Adam and I will be back in just a minute to talk more about cleaning your floors and buying vacuums. This is Ask a Clean Person, the podcast.
It's true. I could have done better.
Brand new music here. This is Bato Nebo by Odetta Hartman on the Heritage Radio Network.
You came into my body like a spirit. So I have determined your proper name.
Hi, I'm Steve Jenkins from Fairway Markets. I've devoted my idiot career to the old ways, the old recipes, the old tools, the old geography of where serious foods come from for centuries. And I've strived to make these wonderful things available to New Yorkers for 37 years. So it's a fait accompli for us to support Heritage Radio Network. And I hope you will too, and I hope you'll keep tuning in. For more information, please visit fairwaymarket.com.
Back to Ask a Clean Person, the podcast. I'm Jolie Kerr. My guest today is Gizmodo's Adam Clark Essis. We've been talking about how much we hate Swiffers. Actually, we've been pretty... I thought we were going to get more riled up about how much we hate Swiffers. Maybe we'll try to get riled up during this. Are you pretty riled up? I'm holding myself back.
I'm like letting it build.
Don't. Oh, yeah. Let it go. Let it go. That's what we're here for. Because this is a weird cleaning show, right? We're supposed to get weird. And I feel like our shared Swiffer hate is weird. Probably not that uncommon, though. But we're also here to talk about other floor care issues. And so before I let you get weird about Swiffer hate, I'm going to have you read a question, a reader question. It's from reader Claire. So you just can pretend you're Claire. You can do a voice if you want.
Oh, I...
No.
I don't know.
You don't need to do a voice. Okay. You just got so nervous about that.
I'll do like an inflection.
Okay. Do up talk? Vocal fry?
Sure.
Okay.
Hello, Jolie. I don't have a vacuum cleaner and it's becoming a problem. I live in an itty-bitty apartment with mostly hardwood and linoleum floors, and sweeping and mopping have sufficed so far. However, I have one central carpet in my bedroom, and between my hair and little bits of thread dropped from sewing projects, it's getting pretty disgusting. The problem, I have a very little room. I don't want to buy a terrible vacuum cleaner that will do mostly nothing and then break in a few months, but I also don't want something that will take up half my available storage space. I'm able to drop up to $200 on this if there is a model durable enough to last me a decade, but I don't want to spend money on something worthless. Do you have any recommendations for compact vacuum cleaners with small storage footprint that will be worth my money?
I sure do. I bet you do too. So actually, you know what? Before I give my recommendation, I pulled out in Adam's Stop Swiffering post. You know, he talked about the Dyson, but he also acknowledged some of the problems with the Dyson that we talked about in the first segment, the clogging issues and the cost. So in that post, Adam also gave a couple of recommendations. I think you had like three or four less expensive. You're never going to find a $20 vacuum cleaner, unfortunately. So do you want to read off that little section where you had the lower priced options?
Sure. So this is from my piece. You don't necessarily need to buy an expensive Dyson product. More conservatively priced options include the Hoover Lynx, that's $130, the Shark Navigator for $100, and the very Dyson-like Shark Rocket, which is $190. Any of these options will pay for itself in a few months, though I can't vouch for their capabilities on bare floors.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Because I didn't test them.
Right, because you didn't test them. So one thing that Adam did in the post, and it was kind of a, you know, it was a simplification of things because it didn't take, you know, like electricity costs into consideration. But he did do a cost comparison of buying Swiffer replacement pads, wet and dry, and over buying a vacuum cleaner, and over how many months your vacuum cleaner would end up paying for itself if you switch to a vacuum over Swiffers and you weren't buying this pad. So I will link to that in the companion post that goes up with this podcast on Deadspin, so you can see it. But also you can just Google Stop Swiffering Gizmodo and you'll see it. It was a handy little chart. And I mean, the Dyson was in the $500 range, but the other ones that you offered are under $200. And I think you had them paying for themselves in like under 6 months.
Pretty quickly, depending on the vacuum. The Dyson itself would take about 2 years,
right.
But there would be no maintenance costs. It's still covered under warranty. And I think the electricity cost would be pretty minimal.
I think it's probably pretty minimal.
I did talk about that with my editor, and we decided it was pretty minimal.
I mean, I think it was the right call to make. I did notice in the comments, but it was. I still can't get over. It's always so funny to me what people get angry about on the internet. Which, I mean, they'll get angry about anything and everything because it's the nature of the internet. But I mean, people were mad. Like, there was someone who just went off about the electricity. You didn't take electricity costs into consideration, Adam. Like, oh. You know, it was probably like 5 cents a month. You know, it's really,
and it's probably so different minimal. For a Dyson Upright too, which stays plugged into the wall and right. is much more powerful.
Exactly. So I also wanted to mention, Adam mentioned the Shark Navigator. I wanted to mention a very specific model, the Navigator Liftaway NV352. That is the pick for the best cheap vacuum by the Sweet Home. We had editors from the Sweet Home on the last episode here talking about best laundry detergents and best personal lubricants, because that's what kind of show this is. And so I wanted to give a shout out to them and their very, very extensive testing of inexpensive vacuum cleaners, and say that the Shark Navigator Liftaway NV352 gets the Sweet Home seal of approval for inexpensive vacuum cleaners. I think it was about $160. So that absolutely fits right into Rita Claire's requirements. It's small. It's under $200. It's going to be a good vacuum cleaner. I'm glad to hear that Claire is not using Swiffers. She said she mops. I don't like mopping.
I mentioned it in my Gizmodo post, but I had kind of a traumatic experience mopping, or like several years of it.
That's right. Can you tell that story?
I'll give the brief version. Okay. I was in high school. My friends and I got our hands on our first bottle of Jack Daniels, and
woohoo!
I grew up in Tennessee, and so it felt like a rite of passage. So we drank it, and
did you barf?
I did not, but my friend did. Okay. and he woke my mom up. Which is the worst way you want to get caught drinking, by the way. If your parents are sound asleep and they get woken up by the sound of your friend. And so my dad's initial punishment was fitting. He made me sweep and mop the kitchen, a cleanup project.
Yeah.
And I think I probably had to do the bathroom too, to be honest.
Gross.
But there's a catch. I lived in a restaurant.
Oh, God. So it's like not a normal kitchen.
No, it was a big industrial kitchen. And he knew that sweeping and mopping were my two least favorite jobs. Because it is a really kind of nasty undertaking. And there's lots of changing the water and stuff. And
I also find it's just incredibly awkward. And the awkwardness is what I hate so much about it. It feels awkward to me.
Yeah, mops are heavy and they thrash around, and
they catch on the floor, and they, I don't know, it's not a smooth process.
And I finished it, and I was so scared to go back to my dad and say, I'm done, what next? So I just did it again. And I ended up sweeping and mopping the kitchen like four times.
Okay, that's crazy. that's crazy.
I might have still been a little bit drunk.
Okay, I was going to say, it sounds like you were probably still, that's like not a logical response to just keep mopping.
But
you did.
But I did, and my only punishment after that was my first hangover, which I still think was my worst.
Yeah. I have to say, I really like I would say this. I really like the cleaning is punishment type things. I lived in a apartment where the landlords and their family lived upstairs. I was very close with them for many, many years. And I was very, very close with them. I, you know, watched the girls grow up, and I'm still good friends with them, and so on and so forth. And one night, the older of the two girls came home, and I heard like a rapping on my window, and I woke up, and I was like, who is this? She was like, I'm not going to say her name. I'm not going to out her. And I was like, oh, hold on, I'll be right. She was like, I got locked out. I come up. She had been out with friends. They had been drinking. her friend wanted to drive her home. She very wisely got into a cab instead of having the drunk friend drive home. But she accidentally left her book bag with her house keys in the trunk of the friend's car. And so she got locked out. So I let her in, called her parents, who were the parents were out for the night, and we called her parents. And I said, you know, she's with me, and whenever you get home, just come knock on the door and whatever. Anyway, so she got punished for the being, she wasn't supposed to be out and drinking. Although I advocated to her parents not to punish her, because I said that she did the right thing by taking a cab and waking me up to come into the house instead of, you know, wandering around the streets of Boston alone. Anyway, so, but her punishment was that she had to go with her dad out to a house that they were building that required taking a ferry. And then when she got out there, she had to do cleaning and some like light carpentry work and so on. And I thought that was a really good punishment, because having to get on that ferry with a hangover and then go like do light carpentry and cleaning in a construction site seemed pretty gruesome, with your dad too, seemed pretty gruesome. So anyway, all the parents out there, there's one to think about. And you didn't forget it. You didn't forget the punishment. So I'm sure you didn't stop drinking when you weren't supposed to be.
No, but I didn't do that again. Okay. There's never another night that we were sneaking around and waking my parents up with hurling sounds.
Yeah, well, that's good. See, so the mopping taught the lesson. Speaking of mopping teaching a lesson, we have another good reader question. Actually, Adam, why don't I have you read this one too? You're a good reader.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's a good trait in a writer to also be a good reader.
Hey, Jolie. I don't remember if you ever tackling this subject, so I hope you can answer it for me. How do I care for hardwood floors? I just bought a house with hardwood floors, and I always had carpeting growing up and in every one of my apartments. I'm moving into the house this week, and I'm absolutely terrified that I'm going to scratch the floors or leave a residue or otherwise destroy the finish. I've heard not to use water, but I've heard not to use the stuff they sell at the supermarket. I've heard to use a mix of water and vinegar, but I've heard not to do that too. Am I supposed to just dry mop? What if there's a sticky spot on the floor? Please help.
All right, I'm going to help. Before I help, I'm going to say what not to do. Don't Swiffer. And I'm saying that mostly because I'm hoping that Adam has bottled up his Swiffer hate so much that he is going to let so much of it out now. Why should we not Swiffer? Just rant a little bit. Rant for me.
So it might have come through in that first passage I read, but my biggest frustration with marketing and products and companies is how they trick us into wasting money we shouldn't waste.
Yes.
So don't Swiffer might as well be don't waste money.
Yes.
And you could extend it further into don't waste money on something that doesn't do a good job.
Right.
So it's a waste of money. It's a famous gimmick now. Anybody who's ever gotten the free Gillette razor and then had to shell out $25 for the blades understands that. And Swiffer is literally the exact same model by the exact same company.
Yep, exactly.
But as far as cleaning goes,
they're not that good. They're not. They're just not. I think they're do one other thing that's terrible. I think they engender lazy cleaning, because I think people do what that commenter from Apartment Therapy do, which, you know, she described. Like, I'm using the Swiffer as a replacement for a mop, and it's not. It's not. It's just not a replacement. I will say one positive thing about the Swiffers. If they're used correctly, which in my view, the correct use of a Swiffer is as an in-between, you know, daily or every other day maintenance of heavily trafficked areas when it comes to wet. Like, yeah, if you could grab a pad and quickly go over your kitchen floor, you know, two or three times a week. I know that sounds crazy, but if you're me and you cook dinner at home every night, your floors take a bit of a beating from that. That's fast, and that's a good use of it. If you are a pet owner and you're using the Swiffer two or three times a week with the dry cloth to keep the pet hair issue at bay, fine, that's great. That's the use for it. Swiffer is not going to replace vacuuming. It is not going to replace a proper mopping. It is not going to replace getting down on your hands and knees and cleaning that floor, which I recommend the hands and knees over the mopping, because I think you sort of touched on this, that mopping is gross. Like the water is gross. Hands and knees sounds like it would be more gruesome than it actually is. It's very fast, and I actually really do find it much less gross than the mopping, for whatever reason. Yeah. I think it's great.
And I think we're going to get to this in a second, but there's also, if you like the motion of a Swiffer, there are alternatives to the pads. But one thing I wanted to bring up was actually kind of the motion of it. It is kind of fun to use. And actually, the idea to put the Swiffer and the Dyson in the same post sort of started with this idea that after I tried out a Dyson at a Dyson event, I noticed, like, wow, this kind of, like, feels like Swiffer.
It feels like a Swiffer, yeah, exactly.
And it does. And people like that. And around the time Swiffer came to the U.S., I was an exchange student in Europe and was, like, very perplexed why they had these, like, boards with rags on the end and handles.
Yes.
Which is essentially the design of the Swiffer.
Swiffer, exactly. Yeah, that's a big one. People, I get emails from time to time, people, you know, going to live abroad for short periods of time or visiting friends, and seeing this, what people often do is they'll take a broom, a regular broom, and they'll secure a cleaning rag over it with rubber bands, or they'll use a flat board with a handle and put a rag over it and either use that dry or use it with a cleaning solution and use that to mop the floors. It also, actually, that works very, very well. People often ask me how to clean a ceiling. You know, sometimes, especially in the bathroom, your ceiling can get a little ganky, a little moldy. That's actually the right way to go about doing that, because you don't need a ladder. You just swab the ceiling, as I like to say, like you're a pirate. So we do want to give Reader Don a couple of suggestions for his hardwood. The first is probably get a vacuum. That's probably the best thing to do. He asked about what to use and what not to use. I'm actually going to start with what not to use other than the Swiffer. These are things that are going to damage your floors or possibly damage you. Hot or excessive water. Any cleaner with abrasive in it, it makes sense because it's going to scratch the floor, but just to say that one. Wax-based products are not so good. And then the ultimate one, please, 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 never, never, never do this. Please never use furniture spray like Pledge or End Dust on our floors. I know this is a very common thing. It is incredibly dangerous. It will make the floor slick. It can lead to slip and fall accidents. Please don't break your neck. If you break your neck, you can't go out and buy my book, which is what you should do, because there are 14 pages in my book, My Boyfriend Barfed in My Handbag and Other Things You Can't Ask Martha, all about caring for floors. So there are nuances. And what you really need to know, Don, is what kind of hardwood floors you have. That's going to help you determine what to use on it. That's the reason that he's seeing different things about use vinegar and water, don't use vinegar and water. Use soap and water, don't use soap and water. It's because different kinds of hardwood need to be treated differently. So you want to understand the difference between surface sealed or penetrating sealed floors. You also want to make sure that you actually have hardwood and not laminate like Pergo, which is very common these days. You might also have a bamboo floor. Those all are going to be treated very differently. So because we're getting a little bit tight on time, I'm not going to go into all of the different ways to clean all of those things. I'm going to instead tell you to go buy my book and read about it there. 14 pages of flooring. Who wouldn't want to read that? It's a fascinating read, you guys. It goes really fast, though, actually. But some things that you can look for, I mean, generally speaking, vinegar and water is a good one. A little bit of dish soap and water is a very good cleaner. What did I use yesterday? I used Simple Green yesterday, a little diluted Simple Green in water. So lots of choices out there. Oh, there's one other one that I am so excited that I get to actually say this. So before I tell you the product, I'm going to tell you two things about me that probably you already know. The first is that I'm from Boston. I don't really have the accent, but I am from Boston. And I also have the mind of a 12-year-old boy. There is a floor care product that is very good called Bona. And every time I think about it, I laugh and laugh and laugh because I'm from Boston and I have the mind of a 13-year-old boy. And it sounds to me like how we would say boner in Boston. Ah, you got a bona. So anyway, but sorry to the people at Bona. That's terrible branding for you. But anyway, it's a very good product. That's a good floor care. I always see it at the Home Depot. So that's another one to look out for. Reader Don, who is worried about ruining his floors. But yeah, he really needs to figure out which type of flooring. And in the book, there is an explanation of how you can figure out if you have the surface versus penetrating sealed floors. So that's good. If you do have Pergo, don't use the vinegar on Pergo. That's a big one. Don't use that. And actually with Pergo, really, 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 really avoid excess water. So Pergo is one that you want to be, vacuuming or dry mopping and just spot treating, and really only washing, a minimal number of times a year, maybe twice a year, if you can do that. And maybe be a shoes off house if you have that in you. I don't like giving rules like that so much though. That's like not my bag to tell people how to live. I just like to help people and let them make choices for themselves because that's how I'd want to be treated. All right. Did I let you say everything you needed to say about Swiffers? No, there's one more thing you wanted to say. There was something that you didn't include in the post that you want to talk about. And we do have a few more minutes. So you want to talk about alternatives to the Dyson other than the ones that ended up in your post.
Well, I might have already let the cat out of the bag with the claw thing.
Okay.
But
you said your girlfriend got an alternative vacuum.
That's right.
Okay.
But it's a Dyson. You threw me for a loop.
Oh, sorry.
So before I get into that,
we're bloggers. It's like we've totally lost the ability to speak to one another. If we were like in Slack, this would be a seamless conversation.
So one thing that also really spelled the end of my Swiffer days was getting a rug. Like the other reader mentioned, like, how are you going to clean the rug? Like, you're going to need a vacuum.
Yeah.
And Swiffer can't do it.
No.
And it was around this time that my girlfriend moved and I started testing the Dyson. And she took it over to her new apartment to clean it before, and she loved it, but I wouldn't part with it.
And, good for you.
So I helped her shop around, and Dysons are expensive. Just that's
they
what
are.
They are.
They are.
But I will
say I got a deal on my first one, that one that I bought from Amazon. I got for about probably $300 or $350, which is not, I mean, by way of Dysons, is not that, it's a good deal.
They get better.
Oh. I love a
so
deal.
Now that Dyson has added the new V6, the one that was in my post, sort of like when Apple comes out with a new iPhone, the old iPhones get cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
And now the basic V6, which has looks just like all the others, but has a white shaft and doesn't come with any attachments except for one roller head that cleans hardwood and carpet.
Mm-hmm.
And she got that at Target for less than $300.
Wow. That is a deal. Good for her.
So, yeah, then that's now getting down into the price of, like, the Sharks and the Hoovers.
Yeah, I mean, at that point, maybe, save a few extra pennies in a piggy bank and spring for the older model Dyson.
And
they still come with the same warranties and everything. I mean, it's not
It's funny how they price them because you're basically buying attachments.
Yeah.
But they sell them in a package.
Yeah. And I mean, I think the Apple comparison is a good one. You're also paying for the newness. You know, I have the shiny new Dyson that there is some element of that. Certainly.
And this was through Gawker Media's Kinja Deal series.
Oh, yes. Always check those Kinja deals.
They're good.
Adam and I are both editorial. We're not, involved in them in any way. We're not swayed by them. But, I mean, we see them pop up on our sites that we write for. I see them come through on Deadspin. You see them come through on Gizmodo. And, I mean, they really are some great deals. And they do – Dyson is, a sort of beloved product on from both the business and the editorial side, not in any way that's like shady or inappropriate, but we just like all really like them. And so there are you will see a lot of Dyson deals coming through the Kinja product posts.
Most recently it was an upright. I can't remember the exact model name, but it was an upright for $200.
Oh, what a deal. On that note, this is a good time to end. We have taught you a lot today about floor care and why you should never buy a Swiffer. We definitely have evangelized about Dysons, but I hope that we've given you some other options too if you don't feel like spending all that money on a Dyson. So a big thank you to my guest today, Gizmodo's Adam Clark Estes, to my engineer, Jack Inslee, and to our sponsor, Fairway. Today's music was provided by RecTech. And if you like what you heard today, and I really, really hope you did, please consider subscribing on iTunes, leaving a rating, and telling all of your friends about this weird little cleaning show that you love so very, very much. And of course, thank you to you, my listeners, for spending another 45 minutes here with me, Jolie Kerr. This has been Ask a Clean Person, the podcast.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us with questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.